congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, in a passage that we just read, the text is taken from 2 Peter. The encouragement is given to value your precious faith, to enrich it, and to perfect your precious faith. In brief, we must diligently attend to our God-given faith so that it grows by leaps and bounds, so to speak. Now, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper we will celebrate this afternoon, that sacrament is also to the strengthening and the nourishment of that precious faith we have. Let us then first listen to Peter's instruction, what he tells us in our text. And God's word therefore comes to us as follows, that the rock man, Peter, instructs us to diligently attend to our precious faith. We must value, enrich, and perfect our precious faith. So the rock man, Peter, instructs us to diligently attend to our precious faith. First then, we need to value our precious faith. Congregation, in the theme, we refer to the writer of our passage as the rock man. And as we have read in John chapter 1, that chapter tells us that Lord Jesus gave that name to Simon. And that name given by the Lord indicates then that Peter would testify to the truth. He would do so as a rock man, as solid as a rock, testifying that faith is very precious through the work of Jesus Christ. And so the Lord Jesus called Simon as one of his first disciples. Together with the others, he heard Jesus' teaching. He witnessed Jesus' miracles, healing, raising people from the dead, and many more. He also witnessed Jesus' arrest and trial, at which point he lost all hope. The same happened to the others as well. Their life and hope collapsed through the death of their master. And so, Jesus' teaching, his signs and wonders, did not free them from the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Remember, even Peter tried saving himself by denying that he belonged to the Jesus of Nazareth, doomed to die. And this shows clearly, beloved, that Simon of himself was not a rock man. Simon was not a man of his own word. Certainly not. He was not a man of his own word. However, a great transformation through the power of Christ's resurrection occurred. Peter, indeed, he became a man solid as a rock. He became a man of Jesus' word. For Jesus' word proved to be powerful through his resurrection, revealing that there is an escape from death and, indeed, from the corruption of this world. In the verses 3 and 4, the apostle says then that Jesus' power and gift made all the difference to them. Through Jesus' resurrection and the gift of his Holy Spirit, Peter became an obedient and humble servant of Jesus Christ. So once more, the weak Simon, the man of just mere flesh and blood, he would never escape the corruption caused by sin. However, the rock man Peter did because of the power of his Lord and Savior. And through his precious faith then, Peter, what he couldn't do before, now he could, giving up his life in self-sacrificing love to the Lord, as we read in verse 14. What then does this apostle, solid as a rock, through the work of Christ, what does Peter, in the position as a rock man of Christ, instruct the believers to do, instruct us to do? He instructs them that they should regard the God-given faith as very valuable. As Christ's apostle and a rock man, he gives the following instruction. For this very reason, since Christ powerfully fulfilled God's promises and indeed transforms and renews our life, gives us strength to do so, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith. To add to your faith. Here the apostle uses that phrase, add to your faith, to your faith. That expression is not that easy to understand. Many translators give the impression as if the apostle encourages us that somehow we must contribute to our salvation. Well, that cannot be the meaning, as we already have acknowledged in our singing as well, in our songs and praise to the Lord. The Bible clearly tells us that salvation, including faith, is totally God's work from beginning to end. And we already have seen that Peter himself did not and could not contribute anything to his faith. He was not a rock man in himself. So let us examine which word the apostle uses here. It is an interesting term to add to your faith. In New Testament times, the word used here in the original was used to make a rich or a lavish donation. Something that today we would call sponsoring. It can point, for example, to a generous contribution to the expenses of a chorus in a play. And through that generous donation, the players could continue with their work. They could continue to perform. They could continue to be effective. Now, over time, that word came to mean furnishing out. Well, with the English phrase, making every effort to add, we come then to the following explanation. That here the basic meaning is giving due attention to the different parts of something. And then, after having done so, link them, connect them together, which then makes the whole thing complete and effective. So one needs to supply different qualities or different elements to something in order that it will work or perform. Think, for example, just a simple thing and a mundane thing as a washing machine. A washing machine. In itself, as long as such an apparatus stands in a showroom, it's useless. However, the moment someone finds it valuable and buys it and connects the machine to the power and water supply, providing it with washing power, it becomes then very effective for getting clean laundry. And so it goes with many things, congregation. If one values it, he will not shy away from making expenses and giving it its full attention in order to get full usage from it. And that's exactly Peter's point in regard to our faith. We need to regard faith as very precious. We need to attribute great value to faith. For through faith in Christ, we are cleansed from the corruption and stains of the world. And therefore, congregation, we diligently need to give it our generous and costly attention so that we enjoy faith's great benefits. Please take note that Peter mentions faith as the instrument, as you could say, faith as the appliance through which we share in the great benefits of Christ's redeeming work. Yet the emphasis that faith, yet he Peter, emphasizes that faith cannot stand on its own. In order to be effective, other qualities, other elements need to be connected, need to be supplied. The apostle then also provides a supply list through which faith works and is effective. And those paths or elements enrich then our precious faith. That's our second point. Seven things are then mentioned to supply our precious faith. Linking those elements together, one so to speak, will get the full benefit of the precious faith. You see, mentioned then are the following. Goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. Love, as you could say, the power supply. We should not attach any significance to the order of the items on this list. The idea is simply that those enrichments are interconnected. They are listed at random, with the exception of two. And you already know which two. They are not given at random. Faith, the first one, and love, the last one. But as a basic appliance, as a basic instrument unto a clean life, faith, of course, is placed at the beginning. While love, as faith's power supply, purposefully is placed at the end. Here in point two, we focus on the six supplements or enrichments of faith. And in point three, separately, we will deal then with the last one, love. So then the first thing that needs to be connected to faith is goodness. In the NIV translated, it's goodness. Many others they have virtue or excellence. Or they translate noble character, resolution, manliness. So what is meant? Peter here says, but must come with faith. That is good character, courage or boldness. By nature, people are weak or even shy. Peter needed only to think of himself when he was walking on the water, or worse, when he was in the courtyard witnessing the interrogation of the Lord. You see, a believer needs to be courageous, standing up for his faith. In the normal patterns of life at home, at school or university, at work, on holidays, at parties, at sport meets, we should not shy away. But with boldness, we have to point out what God requires of us in our life with Him. And so if faith is valuable to us, beloved, then it is furnished, supplied by good manner of living. It will cost a lot. It needs training and discipline. But since faith is so precious, we enrich it, therefore, with a good character of courage. Courage in the Lord. The second quality in the list is knowledge. They translate here intelligence. What is meant here is not just a mere basic knowledge. It is understanding. It's having the right insight. It's a quality people within marriage or within a family have. Because of their closeness to each other, they understand each other. Within marriage, this is an ongoing process that spouses get to know each other more and more with good understanding. But faith links us to Christ. We are close to Him. We're so close to Him that Peter even speaks of sharing in the divine nature. We belong to the Lord so that we are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Also what he said of the marriage relationship. So close we are to the Lord that we know what the Lord expects from us. We have insight in his gospel, in how to apply his gospel, in how to please him. Again, that quality will cost us a lot. For knowing and understanding, someone needs spending time with him. We cannot spiritually live on our own. We need to walk and talk to the Lord and his people. Giving diligent attention to our faith means, therefore, to come to church faithfully, to listen attentively to the preaching, and also applying what we hear and learn at catechism. Indeed, we enrich our faith by a daily pattern of Bible reading, studying, and of course, talking with the Lord in prayer, in silence, having that quiet time of understanding with your Lord. Then Peter lists self-control as an enrichment of faith. It can also be translated with temperance or self-restraint. Living faith shows and strengthens itself by showing not to be enslaved by one's own desires. You see immediately that this quality too costs us a lot. That we need to curb our longings for the exuberant and material things of this world. If we diligently attend to our precious faith, that we don't let ourselves be controlled by our own desires and passions and appetites, but we enrich our faith with a sober and dedicated life. For the next item on Peter's list is perseverance or steadfastness. Others translate this quality with patient endurance. And that's what it actually is, patient endurance. And how necessary it is to supply faith with that perseverance. For believers meet a lot of resistance, opposition from within and without, even from our own flesh. One only needs to read the Psalms to know what God's people have to endure. We all know from experience that it is far from easy to keep our heads lifted on high. Many things and powers, they seem to pull our heads down so that we let our heads hang, often in despair or frustration. In the morning I did so, and this afternoon I like again to point out that, for example, the book of Hebrews is written as an encouragement to persevere, to furnish, to add, to supply faith with endurance. And congregation, if faith is precious to us, and it is, should be, then we enrich it patiently waiting on the Lord. And we start every day in full dependence on him. Then we start a day in great awe and wonder that he gives us life in this world. And that we then have our heads lifted up on high, as we also do this afternoon at the table of the Lord, lifting our heads on high in hope of his grace and mercy and strength. Diligent attention to our faith works a steady walk on the ways of the Lord according to his will. That brings us to the quality of godliness. You must know that the old term for this is piety, or fear of the Lord. Being busy with this quality means that we have great respect for the Lord, for who he is and what he does. We honor him in all his works and words. Enriching our faith with godliness means that we are truly devoted to our holy God, devoted to him in worship, First and foremost, a need in worship services. Also in a minute, being devoted to Him when we celebrate the Lord's Supper. And then also in the whole of our life, bringing constantly Him honor and thankfulness and praise. Yes, if we truly work with our precious faith, then we direct our lives so that God's name is not blasphemed because of us, but that God's name is always honored and praised because of our conduct among each other and a conduct in this world. Diligent attention to faith works a holy life in caring for one another. That's the quality to which the apostle points next. Brotherly kindness or affection. And for this, the well-known word Philadelphia, brotherly kindness, is used. We enrich our faith by giving attention to one another. Again, that costly sharing time and resources with one another. That's indeed costly. Cost time, efforts. Visiting sick, the lonely, the elderly. By visiting and caring for them, we again greatly supplement our faith. Also think of the Lord's instruction this morning that we work faithfully. We work at each other's salvation. Brothers and sisters, we have nearly come to the end of Peter's chain link list of giving due attention to our precious faith. The link is, you see, completed. It is perfected by love. And this item brings us to our last point. We must perfect our faith with love. This last one on Peter's list is an all-encompassing one. It also supersedes all the others. It is not even limited to fellow believers either. But all and everyone is included when we are encouraged to do good to others. Because of our precious faith, we show love to our neighbors, people next door. Because of our precious faith, we show love to the city, the nations. We show that we are the best citizens that the country can have. Through our precious faith, we show our love and concern by actively being involved, indeed, in public life, helping to alleviate the pain and hurt of a world lost in sin. Being, for example, because of our precious faith, we are involved in the Saturday night life work. That's also supplementing work, supplementing to your precious faith. Or being involved in activities like Vacation Bible School, other activities as you find also every week, more or less, in your church bulletin. Giving our love in this way, as Peter instructs us, then we mirror the love of God. That was so great. His love was so great. Grow great to the world that He gave His only Son. That whoever believes will not perish but has eternal life. So precisely that divine love pushes us, so to speak, from our pews here in church. It pushes us from our seat and pew of the celebrating the Lord's Supper. It pushes us into the world to live out our precious Christian faith, giving ourselves up in self-sacrificing love to our neighbors. Oh, beloved, we will find that giving diligent attention to our precious faith will have no end. It needs to go on and on and on. It indeed is costly, mentioned many times now. It's often even tiring, let's face it. But that's precisely why the Lord time and again gives us rest every Sunday, strengthening us through His Word.
And also, occasionally, He strengthens us, encourages us, feeding us with the Holy Supper. For He wants our faith to be working and effective for the fulfillment of His purpose, for the coming of His kingdom. We should not forget that our precious faith, through that faith, we share in Christ's righteousness and holiness. And so we are blameless. We are blameless. Provided we have plucked our faith in His power supply, His love, which, as we have heard, means we draw all our strength from Him, from His love. Remember, you turn to John 21, remember that once the Lord Jesus asked Simon, that rock man, he asked Peter in John 21, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" Then Peter, who was made strong, plucked in his faith indeed in the Lord through his answer and said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Now, as his disciples do today, the Lord asks, "Do you love me?" By our affirmative answer, our faith will be perfected. Then we become spiritually rock-solid people, blameless before the Lord. We will not only receive a rich welcome at the table of the Lord, at the Lord's Supper, but as verse 11 also says, then you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Soli Deo Gloria. All glory to God. Amen. Our song of response is number 447. Blessed be the time.